See their smiling faces full of energy. Would you all stand with us as we begin to worship this morning? You know this next song, and kids, you guys sing along with us.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see there is only salvation. We believe, we believe. Sing it out. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
This day, we thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, God, and we just ask that you would bless this time together as we worship and sing praise to your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These next couple songs are kind of, I guess, what you call deep. They're kind of, you know, kind of reflective on, even though we go through suffering, God's still there. Even though we go through pain, no matter what we go through, God is still there. And most of you, if not all of you, have probably either heard or read the story of Job, how he lost everything he had. He lost his family. He even got sick himself and went through lots of heartache and pain and misery. But he still trusted in God. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, he says, "Though he slay me, yet I trust him." So even though he'd been through all this mess, and he was at the bottom of bottoms, at the lowest of lows, he still trusted in God. And that's kind of what this song is about. So would you just worship with us this morning?
Your name. With my eyes, I see the Lord.
Or how bad it may seem, God is using your circumstance. Death, disease, depression, all of your affliction is working for you an eternal weight of glory. All of our heartache and strife is momentary, but it is also meaningful. All the pain and misery we experience is producing a peculiar glory for us in eternity. When a loved one dies, when you're diagnosed with cancer, when your world seems to be falling apart, don't say it's meaningless. It may seem meaningless, but it's doing something. And you may not be able to see what it's doing, but don't look to what it's seen. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Stand with us as we continue to worship this morning.
This place in time.
joy is mine. Yet why am I fine with all my singing and bringing grace in light of Him? I wanna yearn for You. I wanna burn with passion over You. And
God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time of worship and Your presence in this place. We ask that You would continue to let us feel Your presence as Randy brings the message, that You would speak through him, that we would have open hearts and open minds to receive it, Lord, and that would bring us closer to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There we go. Well, I got to be honest with you. It's great to be here this morning to share with you and to share with you some things that I've learned. But that's not my first response when I was asked to do this. Let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been asked to do something that you really didn't want to do? That kind of pulled you out of your comfort zone? You know, you didn't want to do it so bad that you even run scenarios in your mind or plots. How can I get out of this? Well, that happened to me right here. That's where I'm at today. Not that I didn't want to come up here and speak or to share with you. The problem is the subject matter. How do we 24/6? When broken down, that means how do you rest? That's something that I'm not good at. Are any of you that way? Yeah. I just don't have time to rest. I've got too much going on. I'm busy all the time. When Mike and some of us were sitting around, we were talking about him being off for a month, and we come up with these little subject matters, and each one of us was going to speak on it, and he gave this one to me, and I thought he was joking. I thought he was kind of kidding, you know, kind of like in gym class, the tallest guy, you call him Tiny. That's what I thought he was doing, because I was probably the worst one to choose for this. Then I realized that he wasn't kidding. So then I went around to other guys and tried to trade. Hey, why don't you take this one? And they all just laughed and said, no, that's yours. I can't tell you what I said. Well, I went home and told Cheryl. You know, Mike's asked me to speak on the 24th. Oh, really? She said, what are you going to talk about? I said, 24-6. She goes, what's that? I said, how to rest. And guys, you know how your wife can look at you sometimes and say, and she looks at me and she cuts right to the point. What do you know about that? And, you know, she wasn't wrong. That's something I don't know about. It really gets on her nerves that when I rest, well, I don't. I'm out doing something. I am not that person that sits and watches television or reads a book. Golly, you know, some of these guys, and thank goodness you do, you read all the time. I don't. You know why? You got to sit still. I can't sit still. I mean, I've got to be doing something. I mean, sometimes I will eat dinner, you know, Cheryl will fix something for me, and I'll be out in my shop, and I've got a workbench. I've got one little clean place that I eat, and I'm doing something, you know, while I'm doing. I'm working all the time. Well, you know, I was about to get panicky. How am I supposed to come up here and talk to you guys about rest? Something of which I never do. I thought about doing something kind of neat and clever. You know the Nike swoosh? I was thinking about doing a little logo up here, have the swoosh and put rest. Just do it. Just do it. Let you all ponder on that a little bit. Then I thought about something else that I know all of you would have liked. Come up here and say, listen, today we're talking about taking the Sabbath and resting. You're dismissed now. Go home and rest. Don't anybody leave. Daniel, sit down. Well, you know, that would have been a good way to do it too. Well, I started doing a little research, got in the Bible a little bit, talked to a couple of pastor friends, did some little bit of research, and God spoke to me on a couple of occasions. I'll share that with you in a moment. He's got a good personality. He's funny. I like him. Well, but before we get to that, let me show you some ways that I have learned to rest, and I have perfected it over the years. I've got some photos up here. Let's see. See, there I am. I'm resting. See how I'm sitting? I'm resting and welding this lawnmower housing. See how I'm laying? I'm resting underneath this tractor while tightening up a hydraulic hose on the steering mechanism. I'm resting over on the farm with Sam and Bart there, putting up some poles for some horse turnout sheds. See these guys? See how I'm sitting and resting? I'm helping them pull the engine out of that old Chevy pickup, but we got another engine we're going to put in that. I'm trying out that tractor after I got the hydraulic hose and everything, make sure I didn't run through the fence or something. See how I'm sitting and resting? There I'm on my knees. I'm resting with the grinder cutting bolts off the floor and everything that was sticking up in a shop there. Now, see, what happens sometimes when you're pulling a horse trailer, they don't always follow directly behind you. So I got a phone call from someone and said, you know, I took out the whole corner of the fence. So see, I'm down on one knee resting right there, putting up that board so the horses don't get out. These are some guys I hang out with. We hung out yesterday. See how we're all resting and everything? Right here we have Jungle Jack and Mark back there. See his hands on his hips? He's a professional model. Josh right there, he was complaining because I was taking too long to take the picture, and he was trying to hold his stomach in, you know. See the nail gun that Justin got there? We had to take the nails out of that. He was shooting everything. So these are some of the guys I rest with. Well, you may ask yourself, that don't really look like rest. And I'm going to share this with you. All those pictures of things that I've been doing have been done in the last 8 days. In 8 days, these are the different things that I have done to rest. Well, now, to some of you, that might be work. But to me, it's rest. Let me share with you the definition of rest. I think I've got it up here. There we go. By definition, rest is to refresh oneself, to be at ease, have tranquility or peace, mental or spiritual calm. Those things I just showed you allow my mind to rest. When I'm doing these things, my mind is at rest. And then let me explain to you how that works for me. My job at the Gazette is the advertising director. I have a sales team and I have a creative team. And every day I'm consumed with thoughts of sales, strategies, meetings. I have to review reports. Then I have to write a report about what I reviewed and send into our corporate office. Last week, we started our budgeting or forecasting process. And we have several different line items of sales within the Gazette that I have to budget and forecast for the year of 2015, month by month, category by category, print sales, preprint sales, classifieds, employment ads. I have to, with pulling together data, and watching trends and markets, forecast and speculate on what's going to happen as much as 16 months from now. I have to predict or forecast and budget our income and revenue versus our cost for December 2015. Now that takes a smart person to do that. And since we don't have one, I have to do that. And I'll tell you, it's challenging. You see these gray hairs? I'm 22 years old. Every bit of it. So my mind is just consumed. I mean, I think about it. And, you know, you guys are no different. Every one of you have jobs or something. And it just challenges you. It tears you down mentally. It wears you out. I mean, you've got things you've got to look after. I mean, you've got different projects all over the place and everything. It may not be in the corporate world. It may be private. You may have a business. You may work for someone. There's always something in there clogging up your mind. A lot of times when I get home, this part is exhausted. It's worn out. When you got very little to work with, it sometimes wears out quicker. But I'm totally exhausted mentally. And I can change clothes, grab a cigar, take off over on the farm and work on something. And my mind just kind of unlocks. All that stuff that I worry about, I take it out and I compartmentize it. To do tomorrow or next week, not going to worry about that. When I'm out here and I'm on a tractor or on my back or using a fork to throw manure or whatever it may be, my mind just opens up and I talk to God and He talks to me. That's that spiritual calm. That's those worries and things are pushed aside because you can't really, we can talk to God anytime. And a lot of times we get confused that if we pray and we're talking to God and we're telling him all this stuff and we're asking for all this stuff, and the moment we get through praying, we take off and we're busy. We're not waiting to hear back. When you send an email to somebody, aren't you anxious to get a reply back? Well, we don't do that with God. We send off our prayers, and then we get busy. God will speak to you in that small, still voice. And you know what? You have to be quiet to hear it. You can't be all busy with doing all those stuff in life and doing this and that and the other and hear that small, still voice. So, here's the funny part. God knew that I was stumped. I was really panicking. I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying it to be funny. I mean, it's true. It is funny, but it's true. Let me share with you one way that he said, I'm going to help you. And he did it in the funniest way. I was in Mount Airy 2 weeks ago. I stopped in at Walmart to pick up some stuff. And I found myself in need of a restroom. So I go to the Walmart restroom in the back. And on the sink there was a little small leaflet that says, the gift and importance of rest according to the Bible. I look. Right there it was. I picked it up and I read it in the bathroom. And I said, you got one heck of a sense of humor, God. Let me tell you what. But I appreciate that. I still have it. It's home on my little study desk. He knew what I needed, and that was the jump start. In there was a little verse. Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Stay busy all the time. Does that mean I'm wicked? Are you wicked if you stay busy all the time? That's what research has showed me. I mean, that's a great way to speak to you, you know. I don't get the lightning and the thunder. I get a leaflet left in the bathroom at Walmart, you know. So, you know, that's still, you know, I really kind of looked around. It was really a weird feeling. How many times have you said, or have you heard someone say, I just don't really have time to do that anymore? There's not enough hours in the day. I never get around to that like I used to. And see, that doesn't make sense to me. And here's why I say that. Our society and technology has given us so many time-saving devices. The microwave oven can fix a 3-minute egg in 30 seconds. You can get a baked potato in 6 minutes that used to take 60 minutes in a conventional oven. There's TV dinners, there's meals, there's things that you could pop in the microwave. We have drive-through windows at banks, at restaurants, at laundries. All these things to save us time. Here's a good one. High-speed, wideband internet versus dial-up. How much time does that save you? You know? How much faster can you get stuff? Send stuff. Download stuff. See that little kitty falling off the window, you know. Look at all the... You seen that video too, man? Look at all the things that we have in our lives to save us time. And we still don't have time to talk to God. My father's 80 years old. And he's got a good, clear mind. And does well, and I've sat and talked with him some about his childhood. You know, kids today, I'm not going to step on any toes, but if your toes get stepped on, that's what happens sometimes. They have the little video games they can play. They have, quit, Jimmy. In the car, in the van, they've got the little videos on the back of the headrest. They can watch that. They have games. They have this. This summer, where they just started back to school, in the beginning of the summer, the first week, kids say, oh, I'm so bored. Can we go to the pool? Can we go to Carowind? And I asked my dad about when he was a kid, what did you do during the summers? Well, we planted corn. We hoed it when the weeds come up. We cut hay. I said, what did you do for fun? He said, we didn't do fun. We didn't have time for that. My father, at 80 years old, I mean, it was a different time and a different world, and everybody wants to, you know, we got back to school, and we've gone to all the back-to-school clothes and sales and stuff like this. For my father, on Christmas, his Christmas gift was a pair of shoes, and it had to last him a whole year. One pair of shoes. He called them overalls, but it was the bibbed overalls. He would get one of those, and usually for the first couple months, that's what he wore to church, because they were clean. My dad was the youngest of nine children, so a lot of times he got a lot of hand-me-down stuff. Some of his older sisters, he wasn't too appreciative of some of the stuff that was handed down to him. But, you know, kids don't know how to rest because we haven't shown them the proper ways. I tell you what we can do with all the time savers and things, we still don't have the time. What I'm going to do this morning, I've got a point to share with you, and we have to make time for God, not give Him our spare time. We have to make time for God, not give Him our spare time. You may want to put two stars beside that one, because that's something that every single one of us need to work on. And like I said, in preparation for this message and to share with you this morning, I have learned so much about what I was doing wrong and what I need to be doing different. So that's what I'm hoping to share with you. The t-shirt that I'm wearing this morning is for a purpose. We were needing t-shirts for our softball team. And then we also have our service team. You know, we have about 37 members on our service team that if there's a need in the community, we go out and we help them either move from one location to another. If they got a dead refrigerator or something like that, we'll take it out and help them move another one in. If they've got a porch in bad repair, a roof or something, we go out and we help them in the community. The people of our church, and there's people outside our church that we go out and help. So we were thinking about something that would represent. Well, this saying on this shirt pretty much represents what I live my life by. I work hard. I play hard. If any of you have ever seen me play basketball or play softball, you know, I will slide in at second base if it's going to be close, and I'll tell you what. I keep telling myself I am not going to do that. So I'm laying there in the dirt with a great old big strawberry on my leg, and it's bleeding, and I'm laying there thinking, you know, I said I wasn't going to do that. But that part of me wants to play hard, and I go, and I run, and I do everything I can. I will run in the outfield sometimes and dive and hit the ground to catch a ball. How stupid is that? It hurts to hit that ground. If you don't believe me, come up here and take a... But I play hard. And I pray hard. I pray for me, but 90% of my prayers is for other people. You know, we have people who have problems in their lives, and those people are usually alive. That means if you're alive, you're going to have problems in your life, whether they're big or whether they're small. So you have to pray hard and believe that you're going to get it, but also to enjoy life. How do you enjoy life? You have to slow down and stop and look at life and enjoy what God has given you. So we have to make time for God and not give Him our spare time. Well, I tell you what, I know some of you probably have a problem with that, making time. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to help you this morning. We're going to play a little video. It's got some really nice relaxation, meditation music. Now what I want you to do, I want you to get comfortable in your seats. I want you to close your eyes. Now listen, these are my instructions. I want you to clear your mind. I don't want you to think about anything. I want you just to clear your mind and listen for God. Don't think of anything. Everyone close your eyes. Just enjoy this music for about 3 minutes. You're getting very sleepy. You're feeling very rested. When I snap my fingers, you will get up and strut around like a chicken. All right. How'd you like that? That was some nice relaxing music, wasn't it? Had a nice visuals up here on the screen. I'm going to ask you some questions now, and I'm wanting some honest answers because we are in church, okay? How many of you was thinking, how long is this thing going to last? Raise your hand. That was almost the longest 3 minutes. I started out doing it for 5 minutes, and I thought I'd try it at home. I dozed off. That was 3 minutes, people. How many of you thought about what you're going to do for lunch today? Mothers, will you? Now, he's wanting to eat back there. What are we going to fix? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How about whenever we get home, when we leave here, what are we going to do this afternoon? Doggone, it's raining. We can't ride bicycles. Of course, Jimmy does. That was 3 minutes. And we couldn't keep our minds clear for 3 minutes. I know, I've seen you guys looking up at me. I've seen some of you giggling. Didn't I, Todd? 3 minutes we couldn't clear our minds and listen for God. We need to work on that, don't we? We need to find ways to unlock and get these things out of our minds. If you don't think that you know God very well, maybe it's because you don't spend enough time with Him. And by that I mean listening for Him. You know, sometimes when you're talking with people, you say, you know, I don't know if I believe in God. He never really helped me. Never really done anything for me. As you talk to these people, sometimes you find out it's because they don't spend enough time talking to Him and listening for Him. When you're talking and you're busy and you're doing things, you can't hear that small, still voice. I think probably all of us pray a lot. If I would guess, I'd say if I asked, I'm not going to, but if I was to ask for everybody who prays, or raised your hand, we'd probably see a lot of hands flying up there. But then, do you listen? That's what we got to get trained for. We stay too busy. We stay busy all the time with something. I'm going to read something to you, and I want you to listen to every single word. The author of this is unknown. Been around quite a while. Most of you have probably heard it or heard about it, but I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to listen very carefully. How Satan Keeps Christians from Christ. Satan called a worldwide convention. In his opening address to his evil angels, he said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from conservative values. But we can do something else. We can keep them from forming an intimate, abiding experience in Christ. If they gain that connection with Jesus, our power over them is broken. So let them go to church. Let them have their conservative lifestyles. But steal their time. But steal their time so they can't gain that experience in Jesus Christ. Here is how I want you to do this. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout their day." "Well, how are we supposed to do this?" shouted one of the angels. "Keep them busy in non-essentials of life. Invent numerous schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, 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 and then have to borrow, borrow, borrow. Convince the wives to go to work and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days a week. 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford these lifestyles they've chosen for themselves. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragmented, soon their homes will not offer an escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that small, still voice. Entice them to play the radio, the MP3, the iPod, the iPhone player, wherever they drive or wherever they are at. Keep the TVs and the videos and the computers on, going constantly in their home. And see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays music constantly. That will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill their coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, mail order catalogs, and every kind of newsletter and promotional offering free products, services, and false hopes. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from it exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. Don't let them go out in nature. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, concerts, movies instead. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that when they leave with troubled consciences and unsettled emotions, let them be involved in soul winning, but crowd their lives with so many good causes they have no time to seek power from Christ. Soon they will be working on their own strength, sacrificing their health and family unity for the good cause. Well, in the end, it was quite a convention. The evil angels went out and eagerly with their assignments, causing the Christians everywhere to get busy, 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 rush here and rush there. How successful has this been in your life? How successful has this been in your life that you're so busy that you don't have time to set aside for God? One of the points we want to look at this morning is rest can renew and restore your soul. Rest can renew and restore your soul. He knew that. That's why he commanded it, that we rest and take the Sabbath. Another point, our Sabbath is a day to stop. Stop doing what you're doing the other 6 days of the week. It's a stop day. We get so busy. It's like a long run-on sentence, our lives are. We barely get enough time to get a little bit of sleep in. A lot of time we eat meals running and standing up because we've got so much going on. Sabbath is a day to stop, reflect, talk to God, enjoy what He has given you, your family, your health, nature, and put a value on those things. In 1946, the founders of Chick-fil-A, S. Truett Cathy and his brother Dan, decided to close their restaurant on Sundays. See, they opened this restaurant up. Opened it up on a Monday. It came Saturday. When he closed the doors, Cathy said, "I'm tired. I'm closing tomorrow." He was quoted as saying later on, "I keep the Sabbath and God keeps me." Today, Chick-fil-A is the second largest fast food chicken chain in the U.S., and they're only open 6 days a week. They've been very successful. Can you say, "I keep the Sabbath, and God keeps me"? Not to become rich or successful. How about healthy, spiritual, and mental calm? See, the early Christians worshiped both on Saturdays and Sundays because the true Sabbath is Saturday. That's the seventh day of the week. And then they also worshiped on Sundays because that was the day of resurrection. So they worshiped both. And as time progressed on, they just kind of dropped and went to the Sunday. In Romans, Paul shares with us a thought about Sabbath. Romans 14:5. In the same way, some think that one day is more holy than another, while others think every day is alike. You should be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Let me interpret that a little bit. Walmart's open today. Almost every restaurant in town is open today. There's people who's going to have to work today. You may be among them. Someone from the early service told me that they were leaving and going to work. You know what God wants? God wants a day that you observe a Sabbath. So if you have to work on a Sunday, and your day may be off on Tuesday, He wants 6 days and a day of rest. That's what we're looking to do. You know, a lot of pastors will take a Monday and observe Monday as their Sabbath. That's their day off. Sometimes they spend it with their family. Sometimes they rest. But that's their Sabbath. They have to observe that. Now, it's wonderful and great because we can come to church and everything, and we can use Sunday as a Sabbath. But if you're one of those individuals, well, that's not working out really good. God just wants a day. Give it to Him. Rest. Be still and listen. So what is rest? Do you have a little better grip on what rest is now? What is rest for you? Think about that. When you go home and think about it, if you have the rest of the day, I want you to think about it. Rest the Sabbath. Stop worrying about those other things that you've worried about for 6 days. Set them aside. Place your mind on God and listening for God. Spend time with the family. Have a picnic. Go biking. Go hiking. Go boating. Swimming. Visit with friends. Go to some other family members that's not close by. Ride horses or motorcycles or both, as I do. Take a nap. It's a rainy Sunday afternoon. I could see one of those in my future, maybe. Whatever stops your mind, whatever blocks those worries and problems and concerns and everything, whatever opens up your mind and allows you to listen for God. I want you to remember that God has commanded us to rest. One of our points this morning is to rest and observe the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. All Ten Commandments are pretty important. And I'm pretty sure that you don't break some of the others. You don't murder. You don't kill anybody. You don't commit adultery. You don't steal. I think it's not, we don't want to do that. But not to observe the Sabbath is just as important as the others. To rest and observe the Sabbath is what He commands us to do. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here this morning with family and friends and to worship and to be Your children. We pray that we would look at this whole situation of rest and Sabbath, that we study on it, and we talk to You about it. And then we step back and we listen to You and listen for You so that we can clear our minds and that we, and God, we want to keep the Sabbath and we want You to keep us. We pray that You would put in our hearts and our minds and things to help us to truly rest and to enjoy You. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If you have any questions, if you don't know that Christ is your Savior and you've been working on trying to sort through that, maybe you're not taking time to listen, I'll be over here beside the cross. You can come and talk with me or talk with one of the other elders. Because, you know, we want you to find that rest. We want you to listen to what God has to say to you. And we'll pray for you that that can happen in your life.
Thank you, Randy. I think it's, as I've said the past couple of weeks, that's something we all need to hear and remember is that rest is important, that to connect with God. You know, I like to my rest is fishing. Sometimes I'll go fishing. And even Satan, he can even get into that. He can even frustrate you while you're having fun or resting. And, you know, Randy did so well at bringing that to light and saying, you know, Satan's out to, his angels are out to interrupt everything we do and try to keep our mind off of God and off of the good things and onto the frustrating things. And it's so important that we remember that we have to rest and get into touch with God. And, you know, rest is from the Lord, and we're supposed to yearn for that. We should yearn to follow Him and to rest and to be connected to Him. So would you stand as we sing Yearn to close this morning? Father, help us this week as we get back into this world and into life, into work. Help us to take time to rest, Lord, to take Sabbath. As we've heard so many times, Lord, it's so important, but yet sometimes, somehow, we still just let it go. We ask, God, that you would help us to keep that Sabbath and connect with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.